Not Your Mama's Ship Fic. By Oranges to Rapples. For Monster Stuck 2024, a competition run on the Homestuck Fan Author Coalition Server. Read by Sam Gabriel. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey. The man finds himself in Inverness, Scotland, which is where he'll be staying for the next week before moving south to tour around the rest of the British Isles. For now, though, he is rather enjoying the grassroots music scene at the Hootenanny. He had heard through the grapevine that this is one of the best places that any well-to-do tourist would enjoy, especially with all its great reviews, so it had been his first stop. As it happens, the place has a hotel up top. The Hoots Hotel, they called it. So naturally he had to book a room. The interior feels like the love child of a good old-fashioned saloon in the Scottish Highlands, with its worn wooden floors and country-esque, mismatched table settings. It certainly wasn't what he had been expecting with its glowing reviews, but much to his surprise, he is having an absolute ball of a time. It's when he's nursing his glass of Black Isle Blonde that someone slides into the bar stool next to him. He doesn't hear what he orders. No, he's much too busy taking him in. He's wearing a black leather jacket over a white t-shirt and what he believes to be black watch tartan pants. His fair and curly white blonde hair is pushed back away from his face by a pair of the silliest sunglasses he had ever seen, revealing his admittedly mesmerizing amber eyes. The stranger turns his head in his direction, followed by the rest of his body until he has his elbow on the bar and his cheek resting on his fist.
"Haven't I seen you around here before? You tourist?"
"Something like that." He smiles cheekily, then offers his hand. "Jake. Jake English. Are you local?" The stranger, a local, Jake presumes, looks down at his hand first.
"Something like that."
Then he reciprocates.
"Call me Dirk."
He lets go and grabs his glass, a darker ale by the looks of it, and takes a sip.
"So, you're here to visit Loch Ness, I assume?"
"How do you know?" Jake laughs and takes a swig from his own glass.
"I'm sure you can guess what I'm here for."
Dirk snorts, then looks up and to the side in thought.
"Trying to get a picture of the Loch Ness monster? Close but no cigar."
He sets his glass down and clasps his hands in front of him.
"I'd be happy to catch a glimpse of any supernatural creature I stumble across in my travels. I'm recording it all in a... I don't want to call it a travel diary. I'm just looking into local legends and the like. I'm quite fond of museums and myths, you see."
"Well, you came to the right place for that," Dirk snorts.
"How long are you staying for?"
"I'm set to take a bus down to England at the end of the week," Jake replies. Dirk leans forward.
"So, Jake English."
And the look he has in his eyes sets sparklers off in his chest.
"Why don't you let me show you around?"
"A week is hardly any time at all to really see what Inverness has to offer. I could save you some time." Jake had hoped he could have something of a fleeting romance during his adventures through Europe, some seasoning for his already exciting story he could tell later. He just hadn't expected to find the opportunity for it so quickly.
"I think I'd like that." He smiles back at him.
Jake has learned pretty quickly that his new acquaintance is quite the strange one and starved for company. Dirk sticks to his side like glue from sunrise to sunset, and Jake can't find it in himself to mind. Dirk's appearance isn't the only part of him he finds attractive, though it was what lured him in initially. He's knowledgeable, too. He manages to convince Jake to tour Urquhart Castle, and he concedes to his expertise the moment he tells him it's located on the shore of Loch Ness. The walk up is unseasonably cold, but not unpleasant. If he breathed in, Jake would find the recognizable scent of petrichor in the air. And there's a certain feeling one gets when it's about to rain. A softness to the atmosphere in a different way than the thin sheen of wet left on skin and clothing by a fog. It's weather Jake doesn't have the pleasure of experiencing often where he lives around the equator. Violent tropical storms are much warmer than this, and would leave the hair on Jake's arms standing on end from the electrical charge. It's a nice change of pace, to say the least.
"I used to come here a lot when I was younger," Dirk explains as they get closer.
"There were less tourists whenever I'd visit, but it had always been staffed."
"Was it?" Jake hums in curiosity, giving his escort a passing glance over his shoulder. What was it like? Dirk shrugs nonchalantly, then nods towards the upper part of the main tower. They hadn't had that new virtual tour yet, but you could still see the defensive platform. Well, most of it anyway. They were still pretty adamant about keeping people out of it, though. His eyebrows raise in surprise, and he looks over the fort with interest as they walk closer to the entrance. Will we be able to get a view from one of the windows? Most of the floor in the upper levels is gone now, he replies. We'd have plenty high enough on the rocks to have a nice view of the lock. Dirk pauses at the threshold, then gestures for Jake to go first. After you? A charmer and a gentleman, Jake laughs and walks ahead of him. It takes him a few paces to realize Dirk isn't right behind him, and he turns around to see what he's doing. Well, are you coming? He chuckles with a slight smile, only just barely visible, and he steps through behind him. Sorry, I was taking in that fantastic view I promised in advance. It takes a moment for Jake to realize what he meant, and his face flushed deeply in response. Oh, Dirk, you can't say things like that. He only laughs in response. It's Jake's third day in Inverness, and he has come to realize that time passes far too quickly when he's with Dirk. There aren't enough hours in the day to listen to him talk, though little that he does. Between the two of them, Jake has been doing most of the conversing. Sometimes it feels like he's even talking at Dirk. Not that the man seems to mind. Whenever Jake's rambling would peter out and he would start to apologize for not giving him a chance to tell his own tales, Dirk would just look at him with his enchanting orange eyes and say something along the lines of, Well, didn't they stop on my account, English? I want to hear the end of this. And gosh darn it, Jake's rambling would redouble in his effort to talk his new compadre's ear off. Today they're visiting the Inverness Botanic Gardens because Dirk had suggested it after hearing about the tropical island he had grown up on. He had suggested another place at first, but the sky had been dark and cloudy, and today had been colder than the last, so Jake had requested some place to visit inside. It constantly looks like a storm will break any second, and yet it never does. Dirk had said it was nothing to worry about, that this kind of cloudy weather was common on the British Isles. Since he's a local, Jake believed him. The artificial jungle inside the Botanic Garden is wonderful, in Jake's opinion, and he wonders if the first place Dirk had suggested would have been this pretty too. He can't remember what it was now, but he doubts it would have been this humid. Inside he can breathe the warmer air, though no less wet than it is outside in the cold, and it's bright enough to pretend for a moment that he's back home. Golly gee willikers, it feels nice in here. Jake grins at Dirk as he walks ahead of him. I'm glad you gave me your number. I'd love it if you came to my old stomping grounds for a visit after I'm through with touring Europe. The weather might give you a shock, though. Have you really never left Scotland? He's facing backwards rather than watching where he's going like he should, but he can't help it. He wants to watch for Dirk's reactions. He's smiling, but it looks strangely morose in a way that Jake can't place. Aye, never have. Haven't had much of a desire to before either. I like it here. The bad feeling in his chest is only there for a moment, because the next he slips in a puddle and nearly falls flat on his ass. Jake shuts his eyes tightly and braces for an impact that never comes, because he feels cold hands grab fistfuls of his shirt to catch him. He still slips anyway, only he hits the puddle with an oof and a splash, rather than smacking his head on the floor. Are you okay? Dirk asks. And Jake's eyes blink open owlishly while he looks up at him. Dirk glances between Jake's face and his hands before he seems to almost reluctantly let go of him. Jake chuckles awkwardly and grins in response. Just peachy. I'm fine, thank you for the save. Dirk straightens and backs up a step. Then he offers Jake a hand to help him up. He readily accepts and grasps his hand to allow his companion to heft him up to his feet. Dirk's skin is surprisingly cool to the touch compared to the air in the greenhouse and Jake's own hand. He's almost tempted not to let go once he's on his feet, just so that he can examine the oddly soft skin on his palms and the back of Dirk's hand. It almost gives the illusion of being wet, but Jake knows better. It must be the humid air or the temperature of his hand, nothing more than that. Dirk seems just as reluctant, but he releases him anyway. The lack of contact breaks whatever spell had befallen Jake, who grabs his own hand with the other and massages the center of his palm with the thumb of his opposite hand. "That was a doozy." He glances down at his soaked through pants, then sighs dramatically. "I don't suppose you know where I could find a change of pants." His companion goes back to his usual charming self, the handsome stranger he had met at the bar, when he laughs. "At dinner, Ken, unfortunately. Sorry." "I knew it'd be a long shot when I asked. It's all right." Jake makes a show of dusting the front part of his jeans off before he straightens again. "I'd much rather deal with this than a trip to the hospital. I know what you're going to say. Scotland has universal healthcare, but I'd still have to cut into the time I could be spending with you exploring in Inverness just to make sure I won't keel over from a head injury. And we can't have that now, can we?" Dirk snorts and he rolls his eyes at Jake. "You're right. We can have that." He offers his elbow out for him to take, like the chivalrous sort that makes Jake swoon. "Let me get your aid back to Hootenanny." Jake gladly takes it and marvels again at the almost velour softness of his cool skin while he's led back outside. Ever since that moment when Dirk caught Jake before he fell, it's like the wall they previously had of minimal to no contact had broken. Every moment they spend together, Dirk is trying to touch Jake. In the park, he sneaks his hand into his and threads their fingers together and holds on in a firm but comforting way that makes it feel like he'd never let him go again. Out in town, Dirk grabs a hold of Jake's arm to tell him about some shop or another he thought he'd enjoy. Right now, they're in a crowd together at a concert, listening to a local band in the open air of an outdoor stage. Dirk's arm is wrapped around Jake's neck, and his soft and somewhat wet skin from the cool and foggy air and sweat makes it feel like Jake is going to stick right to him, like a flytrap. He's enjoying himself, having fun with a couple of drinks and a breathtakingly handsome bloke listening to good music he had never heard before, but that's not the problem. The problem is that he intended to only stay the week and spend this time investigating local legends. The week is very nearly over, and he has not done that yet. He doesn't want to rearrange his future plans in other countries. He had this trip meticulously planned to make sure he could maximize his time in each location before moving on. His holiday had only just started, and he has absolutely ruined it for himself. "What do you think?" Dirk asks, turning to you with a bright smile and a raised eyebrow. "Are you having fun yet?"
"Oh, yes, quite," Jake replies quickly. "But I was wondering when we were going to see something more along the lines of... more supernatural than a local band playing folk rock music, I think."
"There's rumors that these guys are fonts," Dirk deadpans, and Jake's head whips around to look at him in surprise.
"Are they really?"
"No," he snorts, then squeezes Jake a little closer against himself. "But the look on your face makes me wish they were." Being this close to Dirk reminds Jake of the strangish scent that seems to linger around him like a cologne, but he always denies that he uses any kind of perfume or especially scented deodorant. But something Dirk always seems to smell like is petrichor, lake water, but not in a bad way. It had taken Jake a few days to figure it out, but he realized the smell of rain he kept finding had not, in fact, originated from the air, but from Dirk himself. He supposes the man can deny it if that's what he wants to do, but Jake knows, and he likes it. He will also politely not mention it because he is afraid Dirk will switch to a different scent if Jake continues to insist on bringing it up.
"Are you not having fun?" Dirk raises an eyebrow at him. "You said you wanted to experience the culture before you left, didn't you?"
"No, I am. I just..." Jake trails off, then shakes his head.
"Never mind. Thank you for bringing me. We can leave if you want to. Grab a couple drinks from Hootenanny," he offers.
He looks up at the sky, with his eyes narrowed and using a hand to block out the still somewhat dim light streaking through the thick cloud cover.
"Looks like it's going to rain soon anyway. Love to cancel the show if it does."
"Oh." Jake looks up too and examines the quickly darkening clouds covering the stage.
"Oh yes, I suppose you're right. It's about time. It's been brewing all week. I was worried it would finally break right as I was trying to leave."
Dirk chuckles and offers his arm, which Jake gratefully takes so they can stick together while they maneuver towards the exit through the crowd.
"Imagine if it did, though. It looks like it's going to be a bad one. Your bus could be delayed."
Good gravy, Dirk, don't joke about those things.
Jake playfully slaps his arm with a glare. You'll jinx it.
They make it out of the venue with little issue, and Jake calls an Uber to ferry the two of them back to the bar and inn where Jake had been staying. They can still have their fun, without the threat of rain literally hanging over their heads. They take what has become their usual spots at the bar, and Dirk orders two whiskeys on the rocks for them to drink while they wait for today's live music to begin. The fairer man faces outward, leaning back to rest both elbows on the counter behind him.
You know, there's a chance you could catch some kind of supernatural sighting before you go, he says slowly. That is, if that still sounds like something you'd be interested in hunting down with me.
There is, Jake asks, his eyes widening in surprise. He scoots around on his stool until he's fully facing Dirk and takes a sip from his glass of whiskey.
Of course I'd be interested. Come on then, tell me. Don't make me beg, Dirk. I'll do it.
There's no need to get that far. I'm just teasing.
Dirk grins, then grabs his own glass and takes a generous swig from it.
So the thing about locks for here, for Britain, for Ireland, is each one has their own legends of the fair folk who live by or in them.
You mean like Loch Ness and Nessie?
Jake says excitedly. He drops his elbow to the bar counter and props his cheek up on his fist in interest. His face sours at the suggestion and he rolls his eyes.
Typical tourist. Nessie's not real. And also she's not one of the fair folk. I was talking about nymphs, mirrors, and selkies.
If you go closer to Ireland and the lake.
Jake takes a sharp breath and just as quickly as he had propped his head up, his hand drops to his glass again.
Are some of those living around her in Loch Ness? Have you seen some?
Well, Dirk scratches the side of his head. I've not personally seen any of those that are in Loch Ness, but I've heard the people going missing around there.
Jake slumps back in his chair, feeling only a little disappointed. He knew it was a long shot, but still.
People go missing around lakes all the time, Dirk. What makes these so special?
He tilts his head forward and rests his arm on the bar counter.
I heard the story that about 20 years ago, a guy said he found the horse on the shore, dripping wet and tame. He assumed that they'd escaped and wandered away from home in the countryside since it had been wearing a bridle. He approached it to pet it, and he tried to take its reins.
Dirk pauses for dramatic effect.
His hand fierced its neck.
Jake's eyes nearly pop out of their sockets at the revelation.
What? How do you know this? How could anyone find out about this if the mysterious man had started fusing to the horse?
He cut off his hand, plain and simple.
Then ran back to town screaming about it.
Dirk grins.
Of course, the only people who believed him were the older folks who still believed in fairy tales, but I digress. You could pop by for a quick visit. The worst that could happen is you didn't say anything and I look like an idiot in front of a handsomely rugged and seasoned explorer.
He raises an eyebrow and gestures to the door with his head.
We should be back before the storm breaks. I'd say we have a good 2 hours or so.
That's plenty of time to look around and head back.
That comment sent Jake's face flushing like a schoolgirl. And if his hair were longer, he might feel so inclined to twirl it.
You drive a hard bargain, good sir. You've convinced me.
Dirk pays for their tab and climbs off the stool, then offers his hand out to Jake. He takes it, and together they walk out of the bar and hail another taxi. Jake hadn't expected to need a coat during the warmer seasons in Scotland, but now he finds himself wishing he had brought one. He's tucked himself under his tour guide's arm and is pressing him into his side in an attempt to conserve body heat, but the only thing he can feel is the cool wetness of the air and the strange chill from Dirk's own soft skin where his arm wrapped around Jake's shoulders. He's looking around, searching the pebbled and rocky shore for hoofprints, or rather indentation in the gravelly beach that looks evenly spaced apart enough to belong to a horse.
Do you see anything yet?
Jake asks without looking.
A mate. Take a look at this,
Dirk says. And Jake turns his head to see which way he's pointing. In the ground, over by the water, are divots of displaced pebbles. Without thinking, Jake moves Dirk's chilly arm off his shoulders to go take a closer look. The small, slippery rocks crunch under his feet, and he nearly stumbles on the uneven ground as he approaches the indentations that shouldn't be present. Jake counts them first, measuring the stride of whatever creature made them with his own. One, two.
These had to have come from something easily larger than your average Mustang or Arabian. If it's any kind of horse, then it's likely a Clydesdale or some kind of draft horse. What kind of horses are native to Scotland anyway? He would have to investigate when he went back to Hootenanny tonight. He squats down beside one of the dinner plate-sized, shallow holes, and notices it was full of a small pool of water. It hasn't rained yet, so the only explanation for how it got there would be if the horse had just walked out of the lock.
Dirk, are you looking? Dirk!
Jake stands up again and turns around, but where he expects to see the blonde Adonis, he only finds empty air.
Jumping Jehoshaphat, where did you go?
He steps away from the hoofprints and back towards where he had left his escort. But between the sound of his own footsteps crunching on the rocky beach, he hears the sound of a second, much heavier step, and another, and two more. Jake stops to listen to whatever it is moving, a splash, then a snort, and a large silhouette begins to emerge from the fog. He feels frozen to the spot as the imposing figure begins to approach all 6 feet of it. Within a few moments, the shadow unmistakably resembles that of a horse. Its mane is plastered against its neck and dripping wet, and a long looped cord hangs from either side of its mouth.
Hello?
Jake says. His eyes open wide as the dappled and pale draft horse approaches slowly, and his eyes roam over its long and powerful body. He approaches hesitantly, having forgotten his anxiety over losing Dirk in exchange for admiring the creature in front of him. It watches him, its head moving to follow Jake in his attempt to circle around it, though he quickly remembers his mistake and avoids walking behind the strange horse. He wouldn't want to get kicked after all. His eyes linger on the horse's flank, at the oddly shaped lumps on either side of its torso that seem to increase in number but decrease in size the closer to its neck he looks. Is it hurt?
What happened to you?
Jake asks himself while hesitantly raising a hand and watches the strange horse's reaction when he places it on its neck, then runs his hand down. Each odd knob is relatively similarly shaped, if evenly spaced apart and of similar sizes. 4 strange cylindrical growths. He drags his hand back up to the neck, its first soft with an oddly familiar chill, while he continues to examine the creature. The largest protuberance appears to be on its back. It's made up of swooping arches and ends with a solid hump up towards the neck. The mane there is shorter and red instead of pale white blonde like the rest of the horse's mane. It's when he gets up to the face again that he stops, confused. On the horse's cheek is another one of those strange lumps, but the short fur covering it is more sparse. The skin feels thinner somehow, and there. At the end of one of the cylinders is something brittle and hard. Jake runs his thumb over it, and the strange thing breaks off and falls into his free hand. A fingernail. He tries to jerk away from the creature, the monster, and almost dislocates his shoulder in the process.
Holy Toledo!
Jake yanks again, but his hand holds fast. He recognizes now what the strange protrusions running up and down this thing's neck are, their severed arms, fingers, and entire hands. Appendages that have been attached to its skin for years and years, long enough to become absorbed and start growing fur over them. The giant growth on its back is no fatty tumor, it's a body. A who-knows-how-old corpse that had been covered with pale fur and still growing wavy red hair. The Kelpie unexpectedly walks sideways into him, making the man trip and fall further against the creature's sticky fur. His arm is stuck all the way up to his shoulder and down his side, and there's hardly a thing he can do to free himself short of flaying the skin off his arm and side with a knife he doesn't have. The last thing he sees while he's helplessly dragged into the lock is the creature's eye. He's not sure why he hadn't noticed it before, but he hardly has the time to question it now. It's focused on him like a predator, amber and piercing and terrifyingly human. The surface of Loch Ness is undisturbed, and the shore itself is quiet save for the lapping water. Within the hour, the storm that had been brewing all week finally breaks. 2 days later, a bus departs. And one Jake English is not on it.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. Suburban Jungle by Michael Guy Bowman. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.